Outcome 2.3 is quite long, and so I've chosen to do it in two parts. Today we will do part 1. Bear the fruit of the Spirit in all areas of life and practice humility, integrity, and simplicity. Read all the Bible readings listed in your notes. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." The Bible Believers Commentary reminds us that fruit is singular, not plural. The Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit, that is, Christ-likeness. The ESV Study Bible provides an excellent explanation of this fruit. Love appears first because it is the greatest quality. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13 and 2 Peter 1:5-7, in that it most clearly reflects the character of God. Joy comes in at a close second, for in rejoicing in God's salvation, Christians show that their affections are rightly placed in God's will and His purpose. See John 15:11 and various other similar references. Peace is the product of God having reconciled Himself to sinners, so that they are no longer His enemies, which should result in confidence and freedom in approaching God. See Romans 5:1-2 and Hebrews 4:16. Patience shows that Christians are following God's plan and timetable rather than their own, and that they have abandoned their own ideas about how the world should work. Kindness means showing goodness, generosity, and sympathy towards others, which likewise is an attribute of God. Romans 2:4. Goodness means working for the benefit of others, not oneself. Paul mentions it again in Galatians 6:10. Faithfulness is another divine characteristic. It means consistently doing what one says one will do. Gentleness is a quality that Jesus attributes to Himself in Matthew 11:29. It enables people to find rest in Him and to encourage and strengthen others. Self-control is the discipline given by the Holy Spirit that allows Christians to resist the power of the flesh. Have a look at Galatians 5:17. Now we look at humility. There are many definitions for the word humility, but the one I value most is seeing yourself as God sees you. Read Philippians 2:3-11. The first phrase says that we should do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Here are some examples. Some want to associate with a, quote, successful ministry simply to add weight to their CV, or perhaps because they want to use it as a stepping stone to something else. So the real reason they come is not so much to serve the kingdom through their role in the ministry, but to advance their own careers. In meetings, we also need to be careful that we don't think that our position on an issue is the only correct one. I'm sure that you could list some other examples. What about your relationship with your spouse or your family member or your friend? How do you approach situations where you disagree with each other and you know you are right? Do you get angry? Do you start raising your voice? Do you start making unkind or sarcastic remarks? Do you start bringing up other, sometimes long-forgotten incidents when the other person was proved wrong? Or would you say that generally in such situations you act with humility? After all, the second phrase in verse 3 says, "But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves." Really? Is that the modern way? When we are introduced to somebody, apart from asking their name, one of the first questions we ask is, "What do you do?" The reason is so that we can gauge where the other person is in the social strata ladder, and so to compare them with where we are. It is seldom a genuine attempt to count others more significant than yourselves. I think if we are brutally honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that we often lack humility. So what is the solution? Well, even before Paul wrote this passage, Jesus had encountered the problem firsthand and, of course, provided the answer. Read Mark 10:35-40, and in 10:43-45 we read, "But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Paul spells it out very clearly for us in verses 5-8 of Philippians 2, where we see that our perfect example, the answer we are looking for, is of course Jesus, who abandoned equality with God to become man. He emptied himself of the glories in heaven and of the privileges of being divine. The Lord became a servant. Let this mind be in us and our students. Next week, we will look at integrity.